Now, there are very seldom, I believe, that you break a series, a sermon series. We've been going through Joel, but there are sometimes events so important in the world that probably better talk about it and see what the Bible says. Will there be peace in the Middle East? Biblically, the correct answer is no. Yes. No. Yes. No. Yes. Okay, so no. In a fallen world first, struggles, we see a outpouring of that or outworking of that right now with Operation Epic Fury. Side note, you gotta love Operation Midnight Hammer. Epic Fury. You know, not too many operations named Rainbow Puppy Love. Epic Fury. But in this fallen world, there's gonna be wars in the Middle East, and we're gonna touch on that a little bit more in a minute. But yes, then there will be a false peace under what I believe the Bible teaches about end times events, under a being or a person called the capital A Antichrist. There will be a false peace over in the Middle East. But then during the wars and the tribulation that follow his rise, there will not be peace. But then Jesus comes again, and there will be peace. And when we go into a 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, I believe. And at the end of that, there will be another rebellion. The Bible calls it Gog and Magog. So no, there won't be peace. But then in that final judgment, the day of the Lord in a supreme sense, there will finally be peace for all eternity. So what we see going on today, just to quote a couple, and this morning they announced that good old the former president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, they targeted his house, and he has apparently been killed. But if you remember him during the second Gulf War, he was, as the president of Iran, said that anybody who recognizes Israel will burn in the fire of the Islamic nation's fury. So we've talked a lot. We've done series on anti-Semitism, and this goes to the very root of all that today. Other quote, if you remember, one of the prime ministers of Israel, Golda Meir, she's a heroine of mine, but she said, "I am also grateful that I live in a country." She was around during the Six-Day War and the war, the Yom Kippur War. "I'm grateful that I live in a country whose people learned how to go on living in a sea of hatred without hating those who want to destroy them. Another quote, "If the Arabs put down their weapons today, there would be no more conflict. If the Jews put down their weapons, there would be no more Israel." And then just a true statement for any nation, but if Israel is not strong, there will be no peace. So if you would take your Bibles and be turning to Genesis chapter 3. And so that 47 years has been on the news a lot. How many of you remember where you were in 1979 when the student revolution, the Iranian revolution, when they kicked out the Shah and the first Ayatollah came in? Do you remember where you were? It was a pretty momentous event. And for the last 47 years, that has been very central to Middle East, what's going on in the Middle East, and around the world. In fact, a little story, I had a business teacher, and I, you know, as a high school kid back then, I didn't pay attention really to this stuff, but I just remember, I can still remember this one saying. He said, well, I've got a solution to this. I'd tell that Ayatollah to look out his window, and at noon, we're going to darken the sun with our B-52s. And I was like, well, that's a strange view, but, and we'll turn them into a parking lot. Well, I know where he stands. But Genesis 3, the sort of the big idea, because of the fall, we live in a fallen world, folks. There will be conflict in the world, especially between Satan and the Jewish people. Okay? Because of the fall. And one of the things I strive to do is to help us understand the root cause of all the messes that are going on in the world. I mean, crime, you name it. There is a spiritual root to all this. The rest are symptoms. And like typical Americans, sometimes we're more concerned about addressing the symptom rather than the root of the problem. And the root starts with an S and it rhymes with in. Okay, so when we talk about how bad sin is, that's part of it. Genesis 3 tells us about that. And I won't go through the whole thing, but obviously the fall with the serpent tempts Eve and Adam, and you get the disobedience from God, what God had said. You know, the serpent cast doubt on what God had said, outright lies. But then God approaches and curses the serpent. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And in my translation, that is capitalized, referring to one particular seed in the future. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So this is not just a snake story. Doesn't explain, just, you know, it doesn't explain why women and snakes generally are at war. Men don't like spiders. Women don't like snakes. So it's not just a talking snake. It goes much deeper than that. And in fact, in Revelation 12, we get a little bit more at the end of the book, the Bible, the picture of who that serpent really was. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, that's a picture of Israel, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, 12 tribes, then being with child, so a Jewish woman being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, a serpent, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, of course, a picture of Christ. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, Revelation, we've done a study on that, but a lot of symbolism, but a lot of what's picturing, and a lot of this, I believe, is referring to the future events under, you know, this is looking back at the conflict between the serpent and ultimately the seed of the woman, the Jewish people, culminating in the Jewish Messiah. And so then Genesis 3 also talks about the first sin that, you know, and where we get the fall and God's judgment and death coming. But then, of course, you remember the story where God killed the first animals to provide skins, grace, to cover their sin. But in verse 15, I would really point, this is a very, I believe, very important verse that gets to the root of all this conflict, the seed. Some of your translations say offspring. But the good seed throughout Genesis is the Old Testament, all those genealogies. Genesis is going to be organized around 11 uses of a word that means generations or history. But all those genealogies, you wonder why they're there. That is tracing the Jewish line, the covenants, Abraham, Noah, all the important covenants of God, promise making promises to his people. And so the Jewish line, and then, like mine has it capitalized, culminating in that ultimate seed some 2,000 years ago, when God the Son added humanity to his deity, and little baby Jesus born as the Prince of Peace on the earth. So, and that message right there in Genesis 3 is the promise of the first gospel, that God will provide ultimately his Son to bring about salvation for not only the Jewish people, but for the world. But then also that seed, he talks about the serpent seed, the evil seed, if you will, Satan and his Antichrist, capital A, but the Bible talks about the spirit of Antichrist, which is alive and well today, so small a, which I would submit we can see a lot of events that go on over in the Middle East. The spirit of Antichrist, you know, against Christ or instead of Christ, that spirit of Satan warring since the Garden of Eden against Christ and his righteousness, of course, but also the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism. So I would encourage all of us, this is one of my hot button issues, that understanding the spiritual roots of anti-Semitism, that Satan has been out to thwart God's plans for time immemorial, and that includes the Jew, his people, and his Messiah, of course. So historically, Joel, this is maybe a good interlude as we talk about the evil that's going to lead to the day of the Lord. You know, these are sort of rumblings on the way to that ultimate day of the Lord that Joel is going to talk about. And I believe yet future Revelation talks very much in depth of that. But God, you know, and his people, we sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know, God is holy, holy, holy. You know, this is when God makes a covenant, a promise, he keeps it. So Israel is a secular state. They need Christ over there. But God still has not cast off his people. So even in the midst of the nightly news, the stuff we see going on, those are symptoms of the real cosmic war that is going on. Good, evil, Satan, and God's people. And we know how it turns out, of course. Romans 16:20 says, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." So current symptoms of that root cause, and that's the main point I guess I would want. You know, I get a kick out of the talking heads on the news, and everybody's, you know, why can't they get along? It goes much deeper than you think. And so, you know, a lot of people educated beyond their intelligence, including me, but don't understand the spiritual roots, how bad sin is, and how it affects every aspect of life, including politics, wars, things like that. So the spiritual reality is the cause. World events are the symptoms. So Islam, and if you'd be interested someday, let me know. I've done a sermon as part of the anti-Semitism series on Islam, the history and the beliefs, and how, once again, that's a manifestation of the spirit of Antichrist, you know, small a, that is against the Jewish people and, of course, Christians, you know, and we get the saints, good old Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. He was famous for saying, "United States is the great Satan, and Israel is a little Satan." See, even that reflects. No, of course they don't like our Western freedom and our, you know, in their eyes, degenerate culture. But they don't like us, ultimately, spiritually, the root, because we support Israel. So really, in their eyes, Israel is the real problem. We're just connected, but we're like the big brothers, so we're the great Satan. We want to be the bigliest, the hugest Satan. So things like terrorism, Iran is Shia Islam, not Sunni. And so if we can talk about that sometime if you want to. So even back the October 2023, the attacks, where did they come from? Well, Satan hates Israel, and Satan will use his proxies to go after the Jewish people. Well, so what? I hope, and part of my job is to help all of us understand what God's word says. Do you understand the reality, the cause of evil in the world? And that's a huge topic, but ultimately it's because of sin. And then, so then going, sort of tying this back into Joel, the importance of the day of the Lord and how God in the past, and I believe in the future, well, I know in the future, the Bible says, about his direct intervention for judgment and salvation, the day of the Lord. And then I hope all of us think a little more biblically about anti-Semitism and not buying into the world and the churches, unfortunately. Hatred, strong word, but there's different levels. Hatred of the Jewish people. And that has crept into the church and definitely is alive and well in man's government and especially in Muslim countries around the world and in the Middle East. Psalm 122:6, appropriate verse you all know. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And now we're going to celebrate communion to remember what the Prince of Peace, you know, will there be peace in the Middle East? Well, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes. But we remember the ultimate answer is because of the Prince of Peace. And so if you are a Christian, celebrate the Jesus institution of the new covenant. God is faithful to his people. And we goyim, we Gentiles, have been grafted in and are part of God's people as he was faithful to the Jewish people, the patriarchs, the Jewish people, and even secular Israel today. God has a future plan for them. But we as Christians, we can, let's be part of that solution. And like Giles, I appreciated separating in Iran. The Christian church, the people of Iran, they have been oppressed by tyrannical dictators for 47 years. And so now they have an opportunity, by God's grace, hopefully, to rise up and, you know, form a government. You know, we're Americans, we're a little arrogant that everybody should be a democracy. Well, not all countries are fit for that, but a non-dictatorial government that allows their people to live in peace. And so we want to pray for them continually. We want to pray for the United States, for operations like Epic Fury, I love that, and things like that. But once again, all for God's glory. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that even in the midst of huge world events, we know you are still on the throne and you are faithful, and that ultimately you will bring in peace. Help us to be part of the solution now, yes, but to always be looking at events like this, things that are going on over in the Middle East today, with an eternal perspective, recognizing sin brings about these conflicts. And ultimately, only through Christ will the solution be found. We lift this up to you, and as we now celebrate your new covenant, we remember what you have done for your people through the shed blood of Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.